Hey, everybody.
Blog Talk Radio.
I am so excited. This is not how we usually start the show. We'll get right into regular business in a second, but I've got to let you know that my ebook is finally live. It is on Amazon.com right now. Don't Give Up and Win, A Survival Guide to Renewed Virginity. That's right. I talked to you about it in last week's show, and now the book is ready. The guide is available to you. All you have to do is go to Amazon.com and type in Don't Give Up and Win, and you'll see it show up right at the top, and go ahead and place your order. Guess what? It is only $7.99, and you've got 80 pages of packed information and tips and just my heart to you of how to walk through your choice to be abstinent. I want you to be successful, and it took me a long journey to figure stuff out. So if I can make it easier for you, all the better. So go ahead and do that while you're listening to the show. Enjoy. Here we go.
It's not over under God.
Jackie Wayans, inspiration through word and song for you.
Hello, listeners. It's Jackie Wayans, Don't Give Up Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today. It is the new year of 2016, and many of us have made resolutions. Many of us are looking at things that we want to change, that we want to do better. Some of us are thinking about health and fitness. Some of us are thinking about relationships. But are we thinking about our finances? Because if our finances aren't well, the reality is we're not well. We're stressed. We're burdened. We're unable to really focus on the things that create a whole life joy and happiness. So I am very happy for the guest that I have on tonight, Dr. Joseph Wendt. He has a background and a career knowledge from the Wall Street world, and it's balanced with the Word of God, and it's balanced with real life experience. So I'm ready to learn from him and to hear what he has to offer us today. He is the creator of WallStreetWomen.net, as well as his new book, Wall Street Women. So, Dr. Wendt, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.
So let's get right into it. I'd like to find out a little bit about our guest and, you know, have people get to know you a little bit before we get right into the topic. So, you know, who are you? Where are you from? Tell us a little bit about your family.
Jackie, I was born in Jamaica, West Indies. I went to high school there, and then I came to New York to study at the King's College right here in New York, did my bachelor's there, and then went on to do my master's at New York University.
Well, you know, I know a lot of the listeners stem from the islands, and I love Jamaicans because there's just that rah-rah pride that comes from, I think, Jamaicans are probably the most united that I've ever seen in terms of having that country pride. You know, it's awesome. And when I'm at certain places and the Olympics are happening, and there's always this extreme excitement whenever there's a win in the Olympics for a Jamaican, you know, teammate. And you have a little history about that with your name. Tell the audience about your name, Dr. Wendt, and what it's connected with.
Yes, my cousin Arthur Wendt was Jamaica's first Olympic champion, winning the 400 meters in London in 1948. He made Jamaica famous, and wherever I go, people ask me, are you related to Arthur Wendt? And I'm always proud to say, yes, I am.
That's awesome. That's awesome. It's very exciting when your family name can be a source of pride for you. That's awesome. And so here you are. You come from a large family, and anyone from Jamaica, that's not necessarily uncommon, right? You have a number of sisters, a number of brothers, but it's not necessarily that you grew up feeling financially deprived. Mom was at home, your dad worked, but at the same time you had land, you had a home, you were able to get education, and you went on to do some really great and wonderful things for yourself, as you mentioned. And so you could be doing anything at this point of your life, but you decided to focus on Wall Street women. And so I want to know, why women? Why women and investing? What have you seen that caused you to believe that this was a need that you needed to express your voice for on behalf of the women dealing with Wall Street issues?
First of all, I married a wonderful woman, and her name is Joy, and we've been married for 50 years now. We're actually celebrating our 50th anniversary right now, and I've learned a lot from her. She's very good at managing money, and I tell you, many women are very good at doing that, and so I want to cheer on the women in our society and in the lives of men. And I have two daughters and three granddaughters, and I'm thinking about college for them. So that's one of the reasons I wrote this book called Wall Street Women.
You know, that's really smart to do. I remember when I first had my three children, and people would say to me, you know, you need to start thinking about college now. And it seemed like it was so far away that I didn't need to start right then. You know, they're babies, you know. But, you know, the way money grows, I didn't understand the laws that exist with accruing and how you actually build a snowball effect by starting early as opposed to jumping in the game later on. Do you want to say a little something about that?
Oh, yes. Starting early is very, very important because It takes time for the dividends and interest to grow. So if the day your baby is born, you want to have an account ready for that baby, because in less than 20 years, that baby will be in college. So you want to have that money growing over a period of time. So, yes, it's very important to start early.
Right, and the beauty of it is if you start early, and let's say for some reason, you know, a crisis happens and 10 years in, you have to stop pouring into that account, what you've already given to that will continue to grow and gain more momentum than if you started later on in their lives and tried to put that same amount of money in. So getting an early start works for you. And getting started later actually works against you. You actually have to put more in and try to make up for lost time. That's the way it works, right?
Very true. And so I encourage parents to start early and to teach your youngsters to work, running errands, learning how to earn their own money, learning about a bank account. I'm learning how to watch your money grow. So it's very important for students to have a piggy bank in which they put their pennies and their quarters and their dimes and watch it grow. It's very, very important.
It absolutely is, and I'm going to ask you a little later on the show to talk to us about something special that you're doing for students. But let's come back to this issue about finances, because I, as you know, anyone listening knows, this is a faith-based show, that I'm a Christian, and I found that there's a lot of limiting beliefs out there about finances, especially when it comes to investing. I've heard some equate investing in the stock market to gambling, and you know that everyone who's involved with that industry are just crooks and thieves, and it makes you almost want to feel guilty for thinking about investing. So can you set the record straight for us?
You know, the Bible tells us about a woman in Proverbs 31. We all know this woman. I believe we've all read Proverbs 31. This is a remarkable woman. She, the Bible calls her a virtuous wife. Her worth is far above rubies, and the heart of her husband safely trusts her. This is a woman who does good and not evil all the days of her life, but this woman was also a businesswoman. She was not only a godly Christian woman, but she was a businesswoman. She considered a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. So this woman invested in a piece of land, and she sold it, and she made some money, and then she tried to reinvest it and make some more money. So, you know, Proverbs 31 is a great proverb to read. It's my favorite place. And this woman was not afraid of snow. She made clothing with fine linen and purple. And so she was a businesswoman. She was kind. She was loving. Her children rise up and call her blessed, and her husband praises her. And she's a woman who fears the Lord. The Bible speaks of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her. This is a wonderful model for all women to follow.
I agree. At one time, I didn't think that any woman could embody all of those things. But, you know, it has to do with as you mature and you grow and you become more seasoned in life and you're able to pull in many more attributes such as she had. And I love the fact that you're drawing out the fact that she made investments, indeed, and those investments were told in those scriptures were what sustained her and her family in many ways. Her husband had his role to play, but she was definitely more than a support system, I would say almost an equal partner where it came to that.
Yes.
Let's shift to the other side of my question. You know, you have experience from working with the Wall Street crowd, so to speak. What should a believer be using to determine the difference between just being a wise investor versus being afraid of getting caught up into any type of scam or trick or Ponzi trade or something like that?
Well, the Bible speaks about money, speaks about investment, and it speaks about truth. So the believer has to understand that God created money and He does not have any rules against making money. In fact, but he does give us some guidelines about how to deal with money. For example, he says in Proverbs 23, do not overwork to be rich. You know, we've got lots of people working themselves to death, trying to make as much money as they can. But the Bible says riches will make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle. So we've got to be wise, and we have to balance our desires with our jobs, our homes, and our worship of God. So the Bible is very, very clear about how we should handle money.
Yeah, I think that's a great point to bring out the fact that the Lord is definitely not against us making money. It's something that will be useful for taking care of our families, for honoring our bills and our debts, and to also advance the work of many good things that need to happen here while we're, you know, on this planet, whether it's feeding the homeless or, you know, supporting a new entrepreneur. There's so many ways that we can be of assistance if we have that abundance that's available to us. And believe it or not, I'm just realizing for myself that every time we're involved in something, God expects a return. He expects a return on investment, right? And so
oh,
we
yeah.
should too. We we should expect a return on investment when we do things. Whether we've just gone through a spiritual battle, we should expect that we have a return on investment spiritually. If we've just put investment in the natural, we need to expect a return on that investment. And I think for many years, I had been just going through the battle, thankful for just enduring, just surviving, just making it through. But now I realize that's really below the standard of what God wants. It's the equivalent of the man who had the one talent and just buried it in the ground. No, the Lord wants an investment. He wants to see that increase on what he has given you. He wants that fruit to multiply and to return. He's about fruit.
Yes, he does.
Absolutely. So when we return, we are going to hear a little bit more about women of Wall Street and how we can financially get independent and make it happen for ourselves.
It's gonna rain, God's gonna send you
Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
Okay, and we're back with Dr. Wendt, who is absolutely opening our mindset to the importance of women being involved with investment and not shying away and being afraid of that. And so he's created both a website, wallstreetwomen.net, as well as a book, Wall Street Women. And so I want to get into that now and talk a little bit more deeper about what you have to offer. So you say that Wall is a mystery to millions of women, and I would agree with you, and that Wall Street Women, what you've created, has taken the mystery.
Yeah, first of all, my research shows that there are companies on Wall Street that are over 100 years old. These companies have been paying dividends year after year after year. But the public does not know a lot about these companies because the newspapers and the media tend to highlight the companies that fail and the problems that people are having. So they don't focus on these stalwart companies that are there regularly paying dividends every month. So what I did was to highlight these reliable companies that have been around for over 100 years, companies like Citigroup, Wells Fargo, Colgate, Palmolive. All these companies have been around for, you know, Wells Fargo started in 1852. Colgate, Palmolive was started in 1806. These companies, they have products that people use, so they're never going to go out of business. So this is what this book does. It gives them, it gives people confidence, first of all, so that they don't have to be worrying about losing their money. And then it also gives them...
Well, no, I was just going to say with that, that, you know, the idea of giving women confidence in companies that have a long history. And, you know, I know for myself that's one of the things that has caused me to pause, because I want to make sure I'm choosing the right companies, not only in terms of my dividends, but in terms of what the company stands for. So that's great that you've kind of already done the research and taken some of that thought pattern out of it for us. What I find difficult is the language. Sometimes, how do you help in terms of that?
What I did was to try to avoid the jargon. You know, every industry has their own jargon. So I left out the jargon. You know, the market is going up, the market is going down. I kept it simple. So if you know that you're going to buy 100 shares of stock at $10 a share, you know that you're going to spend $1,000. And if you sell the stock $20 a share, you know that you've made $1,000 profit on your money. It's as simple as that. You know, you either made profit or you don't make a profit. So I've left out all the Wall Street jargon. I kept it very simple. And anybody who reads this book, Wall Street Women, can understand what's written in here.
That's great to know, because the language is definitely something that can be a hindrance. So I'm glad that you've both taken away some of the weeding out of the multitude of companies that are out there and highlighting some that are trusted and have stood the test of time of 100 years or more, and then also to take the jargon out of it for us so that it is just simple and easy to understand. And so that's a plus, and that alone is a reason for someone to be able to get the book or get on the website. Now, let's talk a little bit about, you know, this issue again about women and why you're targeting women. And I know for myself, I went back to college after 15 years. So the first time I did not complete my BA, so I went back 15 years later and got my BA. And the reality is there are more women who are making that choice to either complete college or go back to college or get higher degrees. And so the opportunity to earn more income is definitely there. But we feel overwhelmed because we're juggling so many things. We've got children. We've got families, there's church, there's community. And so now how does this ease things and make things, as you say, worry-free so that we can begin to grow that wealth?
Okay. First of all, I remember when I took the broker's license examination, you know, we all had to take something called the Series 7 examination. I walked into the room. There were 40 white men in the room and myself. There were no women in the room, and that I remember that. That amazed me. But things are changing. There are women now on Wall Street, and they're doing very well. But we're not there yet. We still need to reach out to more women. So hopefully women will get a hold of this book, and I'm hoping to put this book, Wall Street Women, into schools and colleges so women can build understanding, knowledge, and confidence to invest in the stock market. So I start with companies that they can invest in, and then I give them a system, the brokers that they can use to invest online, and they can start with small amounts of money, such as maybe $100 a month. They don't have to have large amounts of money to get started. So, you know, they can start in very simple terms like that.
Okay, what if you're really, really struggling but you want to make a difference? Can you make an impact with just $50 a month?
Oh, certainly. Oh, yes. You can start with less than that, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's good to know, because I think a lot of times we also think we need $500 or $1,000 in order to make an impact, but you can start where you are and you can slowly build.
Yes, yes.
You know, you said that you walked into this room to take this exam, and you were, you know, it was a room full of men, and you were probably the only black male there. I'm curious, coming from another country, how did you even find your way into that room? How did that come about?
Well, I was talking to a black doctor I met, and I said, where is the money in this country? And he said, the money's on Wall Street. And I said, how do you get there? And he said, well, they don't want any black people on Wall Street, but I was reading the New York Times one day, and I saw an ad. It says, we'll train you to take Series 7 examination. So I applied for the class, and I got in. I took the course. I got in, and I got a high score in the test, and they employed me right away, First Investors Corporation. So that's how I got to Wall Street.
This show is called Don't Give Up, and I'm going to add Don't Give Up and Win, because the goal here is that we do increase. We do have a return on investment, and you came here from another country. You could have had so many limitations, so many reasons why you couldn't do something. But just because what that person did, he, one, exposed you to what your question and that there was a place where there was money to be earned and had, and you set your faith to a flint like that. You know, you already had your relationship with the Lord. You already knew who God was to you in your life, and you weren't going to compromise your standards. So you went in, you took the test, and you stepped into an arena, one of the first people to step into an arena that was really closed to a race. And as you said, there has been progress, but there's still more to be gained. Coming back to the issue as women, I want to use myself as an example. Like I said, I went back to school. I accrued some college debt. I was very late in thinking about my kids for college and just recently started doing retirement maybe just about 5 years ago. And so I'm the kind of person that I don't even want to think about math or anything financial oriented. I just want to pay my bills at the end of the day and move on. I find it to be just so cumbersome. So what would you do to start to help someone like me who just feels like it's an overwhelming task?
Yes, I understand that many people are struggling, but I would suggest that pay yourself first out of whatever you make. So have an automatic deduction from your salary that goes straight to your account, so you don't have to worry about whether you should put that money in or not. If the money gets into your hand, you may not invest it, you may spend it. So set up an automatic withdrawal that goes right to your account. You can open an account with Fidelity Corporation and have the money sent directly to your investment account. Anybody who starts investing in the stock market, years ago you had to have a broker that you pay him a fee every time you buy a stock and sell a stock, but today you don't have to do that. You can invest right into the company on the internet. So, and it's about $7 for each stock that you buy. So you open an account, what's called a brokerage account, and then you just put the money into the account to purchase the stock that you wish to buy. Now, what I've done is I've set up my book in such a way that you can be getting a dividend every month. So if you buy, let's say, Colgate Palmolive, you get a dividend January, April, July, and August. You buy DuPont, get a dividend February, May, August, and November. And if you buy State Street Corporation, you get a dividend March, June, September, and December. So you're getting dividends every month with just those three stocks alone. So you don't have to be fretting and worrying every day about the stock. You just let it sit there and collect the dividend.
Wow, I've never heard it explained that way. I thought of it as something just kind of sitting in a portfolio and is kind of invisible, and you don't see it until, you know, maybe decades later. But you're saying that's not the only way to do this.
Right. Well, this becomes your portfolio. You can begin with as little as three stocks to get dividends every month.
I got it. While we're on the subject, then, talk to us about this, because you identify this on your website and you make it very clear that you can select the type of investment option. And you talk about the monthly investor versus the lump sum investor versus virtual, and you just touched on the virtual a little bit. Can you explain the difference between the monthly investor and the lump sum investor?
Yeah, the lump sum investor is somebody who has maybe $5,000 or $10,000 cash, and they want to put it somewhere. The banks are paying nothing. The banks are paying like 1% on your money. So if you invest in the same bank, you can get at least 5% on your money. So a lot of people don't know that. You can actually buy the stock of the bank that you're investing in, and you'll be making at least 5% on your money. So that's the key thing to understand, that you don't want your money to sit there earning 1%, because you're really actually losing money that way.
Mm.
You want to be able to get at least 5% on your money. So you put that money in a company, or you divide it into, you know, you make sure you buy at least three companies with that money, that lump sum, and you just collect your dividends. But the monthly investor, you don't have to have that amount of money to get started. You can open an account with just maybe $100 and then put a monthly amount in there, like $25, $50, $100. So the monthly, start very small, with a lump sum. If you got some lump sum, just start with that.
Okay, there you have it. When we come back,
yeah,
we're going to talk a little bit more about something special that you're doing with young people as well in finances. So we'll be right back.
See, I can never make it without you, and I would do what you want me to do. Woo! I see the signs, directional arrows, and I hear your voice about tomorrow. I don't know what my destination is, but that's where my promises and your promises are sure that I know.
Don't Give Up Radio. I'm your host, Jackie Wayans, and we have been discussing financial investment because as we look at a new year and we don't want it to just vanish without making the necessary changes that we need to make in our lives. And I know for myself, a mother, single mom of three, financial building has not been my priority. So much on just trying to survive that I didn't think that I had anything to invest. And I'm learning that that is not so, that you don't need the big lump sum. You can start with $50. You can start with $25. And it is a sacrifice for some of us because I know there are days that I had to juggle and figure out, okay, are we going to get the Pampers or are we going to get the formula, and you're thinking, what a horrible decision to have to make because both things are a necessity. But, you know, for that day, you had to make a decision, and so the idea that there's something to invest seems hard. But even at that point in time, there were people who said to me, you know, Jackie, whatever change, whatever coins you get from going to the supermarket and store, just throw that into a jug. And at the end of the month, you can go and turn that into dollars and make that your savings, make that your investment. So there are little ways to think about the things you can do. And it's always going to be a sacrifice to struggle, whether you're living on a government check or whether or not you're living on $40,000, but the taxes are cutting into it to the point where you're not seeing anything. It's an attitude of the mind. It's the attitude of consciousness. And it is something that is important for us as believers. I know that in my community, a lot of organizations will not take checks. From certain, they won't take checks from churches because they've had so many situations where the checks have bounced that they no longer trust that the check will clear. Now, that is horrible. We don't want to have that kind of legacy or that type of reputation as people who name the name of Jesus Christ, because our God is sufficient. There's more than enough in him, and he says that he desires that we would prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers. So if we're doing all this prospering spiritually, guys, if we're growing in the word, if we're living according to his word, he wants us to be healthy physically, and he wants us to be healthy in our finances. So we've been talking with Dr. Joseph Wendt, who is the founder of Wall Street Women, Inc., and he has produced a book and a website by the same name, and he's been sharing with us some wonderful tips. But you also have something very special called Wall Street Women's Cup, and it's regarding it's a student investor challenge. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, the Wall Street Women's Cup is designed to help students in high schools and colleges, or even in church, to get together as teams and see who can make the most money within a 7-week or 14-week period. So each team is given $100,000 in virtual money. So we don't have real money to give them, but the $100,000 in virtual money. And each team must invest the money, and at the end of 7 weeks or 14 weeks, the team with the most money wins the Wall Street Women's Cup. So when you get a team of people, let's say you get five women together and they are in this competition, they can learn all about the stock market from one another. You know, there's a verse of scripture in Proverbs 13 and verse 20, talks about he who walks with the wise will be wise. And in Proverbs 14, verse 1, it says the wise woman builds her house. So when women get together, they don't have to spend time gossiping and talking lots of nonsense. They can seek wisdom and they can seek knowledge and understanding of how things work, how to make a few dollars go further, where to buy things, where to find sales, and so on, and how to manage money carefully. My mother was a great manager of money. She made things work, and so does my wife. And I really think that a wise woman is such an asset. But we need to get together in teams and see how we can help one another.
I love that idea because we tend to be very isolated as people and as women. That tends to be true. But even when we get together, we don't necessarily talk about finances, right? That's not the thing. That's probably the thing we're trying not to think about because we think about it as a burden. So this will really shift the mindset about that. Now, while I'm all for you, I think it's a great idea getting this into high schools, and particularly so that there's an early start, and I think I can probably assist you with that in a little bit with my former life working with InsideSchools.org and some of the schools that I've encountered that might actually be open to the program. Now, is it a curriculum that you have laid out? Like, how do they know what to do through the 14 weeks?
Well, right now I have only the book, but I'm hoping to add the curriculum to the site so they can follow that. They can have that as a guide to help them. But if a group of women get together and read the book together, that becomes the curriculum. There are many book clubs all around across the nation, and could become a book club, so they can just read this book and follow it. That becomes a curriculum. But I think I will be developing perhaps an additional curriculum later on.
Yeah, it would be great to have it step by step. So the table of contents, so there's about, you said 14 weeks, so you've got about 14 chapters that are covering the things that you need to know and learn and apply?
That is correct, yes.
Okay. And see, that's the key, is application. I'm great at reading books. I'm not that great at the follow-through and the actual implementation and the applying. And that's why being a part of a group is a wonderful idea. I love the idea of a book club as well. And I would even challenge you to say, while this is great for high schoolers, to also offer it to your original demographic of women, because I feel that a lot of my audience are single women who are really pushing towards making their life better. That's why they're listening to this show. And so to be able to have a room where we can come together, even though we're older, even though we have children or we're married, and to go through this process and to take the fear out of it and to go through it together. So I think it's something that could be even offered to us more seasoned women, if you will.
Yes. And, you know, Jackie, I didn't realize that IBM is now run by a woman. I actually called her up, Ginny, president of IBM, CEO. I actually called her up to get some input from her. She declined, but it was amazing. Pepsi, DuPont, Lockheed Martin, you know, Facebook is run by a woman now. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
Yeah, and Yahoo is also run by Marissa Mayer. I actually sent her a letter to get her input. So in chapter 6 of this book, you'll see a whole list of companies run by women. So it's amazing that what's going on. The women are really taking over Wall Street.
Yeah, and women are on the move. And so let's not believe that it's just for 1% of us or 10% of us. It's for every one of us, especially those of us who have embraced Romans, those of us who have embraced Romans 10, 9, and 10, that we have confessed the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, and we're saved, and we have a relationship with him. We have his power living inside of us, and so we don't have to live powerless. And I'm starting to take on this by a wonderful woman her catchphrase is Real Talk Kim, if you want to look her up on social media, Real Talk Kim. But she says, you are not pitiful, you are powerful. And so we need to change our mindset. I need to change my mindset. And that's why I decided to take this month and just talk to people in the world of finance and really get this ball rolling, because it's important for us to live victoriously in regards to this. So thank you so much for sharing this. I'm sure we're going to continue to talk in other ways.
Yes, and I thank you for inviting me to discuss WallStreetWoman.net, and I believe that if women get into this, they will be handsomely rewarded.
Now, I know they can order the book on the website. Is there any place else that they can get their hands on the book at this point?
Oh, certainly. You can get it from Amazon.
Oh, okay, great. Wonderful.
Right.
Great to know. So there you go. You can get your hands.
Point out, on page 36, there's a direct purchase plan under the title called Drip For example, if you wanted to buy Domino Dominion Resources, all you need to start is $40, and there's a phone number there for you to call. Or if you want to start with Domino Pizza, it's $65 to start, and there's a phone number for you to call. So you can start with that, and then you can add a monthly amount.
You know what's so great about what you just said there? I know that there are people who are listening who have spent at least $65 in a year on Domino's Pizza, right?
So yes.
Right? In ordering $65 worth of Domino's Pizza, use it to invest in the company, and then as you get your dividends, you don't mind spending the money on the Domino's Pizza because you realize that you're a part of that company. You know, it's interesting. Recently, there was all of this hullabaloo about Steve Harvey not announcing the but what people don't know is that he owns part of that industry, right? So though he might have made a mistake as a co-host, it doesn't change that what he did actually boosted ratings and buzz about something that he has physical dollars invested in. And so the win is not what we see on the front end. The win is for those people who are investors on the back end. And we want to start to get in on that. We want to start to be a part of that voice because it makes a difference. In fact, I will say this, it was sometime last year, I think around this time last year, there was an incident at Barney's in New York where security agents were randomly aggressively going after minorities in the store.
Right, I remember that incident.
And so Jay-Z had money, investment in the store. And so all he had to do was make a simple phone call to get things corrected because he had investment in there, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, people think you have to be on the news or you have to go march in the streets. That's one way of doing it. But when you have money invested in their stocks and they value that, you have a voice. You have a voice, right? And so we need to position ourselves to have a voice where it matters instead of just complaining that the people with the voice aren't using their voice, right? So thank you so much for sharing this. As I always say on this show, I want you to be your own best hero because the greatest hero of all said you were worth it when he gave his life for you. I want you to don't give up, but I also want you to win. It's not just about, pressing and pressing and pressing. You want to win. You want to return on your investment, whatever that is, whether it's spiritually, emotionally, in your relationships, in your finances. And so I'm dedicated to bringing that to you. And for this whole month of January, we will continue to listen to broadcasts and people who have had experience and being excellent in finances. There are things that I've been excellent in, like my new book that is available on Amazon called Don't Give Up and Win, A Survival Guide to Renewed Virginity, right? Because I have experience in that, and I can tell you about that, but I don't have experience in finances. So therefore, I'm bringing these guests on so that they can help us be better. Until next time, don't give up.
Thank you, Jackie. And may I leave with a closing verse? Proverbs 13:22 says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children.
Absolutely.
Proverbs 13:22, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children.
There you go. You have it right there. The Word of God says that it's good to leave an inheritance. All right. Have a good night.
never survive, never recover. I wasn't created to be an overcomer. Don't need to give up, give in, cause it's over. No hope for a new beginning, no happy ever after. So I settled into a life of mediocrity, believing the lies they told me, doing only the things that they expected, hoping to be accepted. But God woke me up one day from a life full of lies and deceit. He told me who I really was. He said, "Dad, and she said, who?
Desires.